Accession number 17345, Reel 1.
Mr. Berkovich, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in London, East End of London, about 150 yards away from where the V2 fell. I was born in 1929.
And I think this is in Stepney?
In Stepney.
Can you tell me something about your where you went to school as a boy, please?
Well, in 1939, prior to the commencement of war, I was at an elementary school, Robert Montefiore School, in Valence Road. It was almost opposite the block of flats, Hughes Mansions, where I lived. But then in 1939, I was evacuated with my elder brothers who attended the Davenant Foundation Grammar School in Whitechapel Road. And we were evacuated to Chatteris in Cambridgeshire. And I started schooling with Davenant at a grammar school premises in Chatteris.
Were you evacuated as soon as war was declared?
Yes. Yes, and I remember going from Liverpool Street Station out into Cambridgeshire and being billeted with a family in Chatteris.
What was the journey like up to Chatteris?
Well, I seem to remember going off with that square cardboard box containing a gas mask on a train. That's as far as it goes, and all I can remember now is congregating in some large area, and I was allocated to a particular family.
Can you tell me what kind of family it was?
Mother, father, three sons and one daughter.
What did the father do for a living?
The father worked for British Rail. Well, British Rail as it is now, probably LNER, as it might have been then.
Did they give you a welcome?
Oh, yes, they were very, very kind to me. But I was somewhat shy. And although they took me into their family and accepted me as one of their family, I perhaps couldn't totally overcome my shyness. You bear in mind that I was living in a block of flats in the East End of London, quite different from living in a house out in rural England, the Fen Country. Had to learn to ride a bicycle, as most people did in Chatteris, and only a minute's bicycle ride away from flat fields, carrot country, so to speak.
What kind of facilities were they able to give you in the house?
I shared a bedroom with one of the sons. They, you know, looked after me very well. Even catering for my somewhat special dietary requirements.
What were those?
Well, I was of the Jewish faith, and I was reluctant to eat pork and ham and bacon, and so they recognized that, and you know, and I had mostly meals of vegetarian nature, and so they did everything they could do to make me feel at home. And and the lady of the house, you know, I looked on her as my foster mother. And my parents would come down from time to time, and they made my parents very welcome. And in short, they did everything they could do to make me feel at home.
What was the name of the family?
Gibson, G-I-P-S-O-N.
When rationing came, were you able to get a decent food supply?
Yes. I mean, I never felt hungry. And they took care of me in every way that they could.
Do you think that you might have been better off for food than you might have been in London?
In some ways, perhaps, yes. You know, they certainly had access to fresh vegetables. Whereas in London, probably my parents were finding it more difficult to buy with ration books the fresh foods that were available to the people in Cambridgeshire.
How did you get on with the children and the family?
Oh, pretty well, very well. There were occasional differences with the boy that I was sharing a room with, but I suppose that was natural. I was a little bit older than him.
You mean fights?
Not fights, really. I mean, he knew far more about the country than I did, perhaps he, from time to time, chided me and my ignorance of country matters. I mean, I was, very rarely had I seen snow in London, for example, but out there in the country there were some very cold winters and snow, and whilst he could ride a bike with dexterity, I I couldn't. And
was there much difference between the boys from the city and the boys from the fens?
I didn't. Well, I think the boys from the fens always knew who the boys from the city were, you know, I didn't really see any outward resentment, but there was certainly a certain element of competitiveness, if you like. Even at football, you know, we would, as a team, play against their teams, and certainly pretty competitive.
But was it pleasant or unpleasant rivalry?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't unpleasant. It wasn't unpleasant. And I mean, there was. You know, I was 10 when I was evacuated. There were older boys, of course, there, and when the older boys would go into some of the dance halls, I suppose, the entertainment centres, there was a little bit of rivalry between the local boys and the evacuees.
Now, was your whole school evacuated as a whole school?
Yes, the whole school was evacuated. But I, having two older brothers with the grammar school, went with them. I think the other children in the school went to another place in Cambridgeshire. So yes, I think the whole school, Robert Montefiore, I think as such, was closed. And in fact, the playground was used as a launching pad for one of those air balloons. What were they called?
Barrage balloons. So you mean you were promoted above your years, were you?
Well, yes. I was 10 when I joined the grammar school, which I suppose was a little bit early.
What was the schooling like? Was it much disrupted by the move?
Well, there was some disruption, of course, but I think it was overcome very well. The premises that we used were very modern. It was called the Cromwell School in Chatteris, very modern. The facilities there were very good. And the teachers that were at Davenant in the East End, as I recall, went to Chatteris and taught at this Cromwell School in Chatteris. And I would say pretty high standard.
Was there anything which you lacked in your schooling in Chatteris, do you think?
Not really, no. As I say, the school was very modern. Sporting facilities were very good. And the teaching was very good.
Did the war affect you at all in Chatteris?
Not really. Very occasionally did we hear of bombing raids in that area, very rarely. And we didn't take shelter outside as such. I think when we heard the bangs, we got under the table in the dining room, I think. There were in the vicinity a number of airfields used by the Air Force, and the boy that I shared the room with and I did a little bit of amateur air spotting from the rear of the garden.
Aircraft recognition.
Aircraft recognition, yes.
Did any bombs at all fall on Chatteris or the area?
No, I can't recall any bombs actually falling on Chatteris. We did hear one or two explosions, as I say, of a night time when these occasional raids in the vicinity, but on Chatteris, no, I can't recall any bombs falling there.
Did you feel homesick?
I did feel homesick, yes. Purely my own, my own fault, but it had nothing to do with the way that the people I lived with tried to introduce me into their home. It was, I suppose, something natural. I was 10, 11, 12, and, I did, although I did go home in the holidays, train from Chatteris to Cambridge, change at Cambridge onto Liverpool Street, I did feel rather sad when I left, Liverpool Street to return to Chatteris, and I suppose that was a natural feeling. I was quite young.
Did you worry about your parents in Stepney?
Yes, I did. I did, and I knew of the air raids, and I did worry about them, and I knew that they were going to use the shelter provided by some of the underground stations, as I recall, Holborn in particular, perhaps. So, yes.
What contact were you able to maintain with them, apart from visiting them in the holidays?
Not much, really.
Letters?
I think I did write letters, although I can't really recall doing much of that now.
How long did you stay in Chatteris for?
I stayed there until... Did I say that the latter part of 1942?
Why did you return?
Well, as I say, I became perhaps increasingly homesick, and it affected my relationship with the family, in particular perhaps with the boy that I was sharing a room with. And I think in the end it was thought best that I return to London, and which I did.
And the school was still in Chatteris?
The school was still in Chatteris, yes.
So which school were you supposed to attend once you got back?
When I got back to London, there were two schools which I applied for to enter, which were in operation. One was Parmiter's, near Victoria Park, and the other one was Raines, in the Commercial Road. And I entered Raines.
That was a grammar school?
Raines Grammar School, yes.
How did it compare with your previous school?
Oh, quite well, yes. It was a mixed school, but the teaching there, again, was very, very high standard. And I either walked there or went on the bus. To Raines Foundation Grammar School.
What was your address in Stepney?
The address was Hughes Mansions, 82, number 82 Hughes Mansions, Valence Road.
When you got back, had things much changed?
Well, yes, things had changed in that... there was, obviously the bombing, subsequently the flying bombs, the V-1s, and later on the V-2s. The V-1s I was often able to observe standing on the balcony, observe them coming towards us and seeing them drop in various places.
Where did you see them land? Do you remember any specific ones?
No, they just seemed to span out into various areas over London, and all I could say was that I saw them dip, in some cases heard the engine cut out and saw the dip, and then, in some cases, could see the signs of an explosion. There was an underground shelter in the grounds of Hughes Mansions, and sometimes we would go into that.
What facilities were in there?
Nothing very much. I think just a few benches to sit on.
Did you sleep overnight there in the underground shelter?
Yes, there were occasions when we did sleep overnight. Yes. And we could hear the bangs and the aircraft, sounds of the aircraft overhead.
Did all this make you wonder whether you'd made the right decision to come back?
Well, yes. Yes, I did wonder about that, but... I suppose, again, being fairly young, I wasn't too aware of the dangers. And
did you find the V weapons attacks frightening at this stage?
Yes, I did. Although, here again, when I stood on the balcony and saw them approaching, saw them going off somewhere else, being fairly young, I mean, again, I wasn't too aware of the consequences. I suppose my feelings were, well, when they had gone off in some other direction, we were all right. And it wasn't compelling enough to force me to go back to Cambridgeshire.
Do you remember the V2 starting?
Yes, I remember the V2 starting, yes.
What did they look like? Did you see anything in the sky when they came?
No, saw nothing, no.
Did any V1s or V2s fall near you before Hughes Mansions were hit themselves?
No, I can't recall any V1s or V2s falling quite near us, no. There were obviously a number of bombs, incendiary bombs, that did fall quite close to us.
Can you take me through the incident where the flats were hit now, please, step by step in detail, as far as you personally remember it?
Well, I remember going to bed, and perhaps as a premonition, might have been thoughts that occurred to me often of an evening going to bed, but I recall having a premonition on the night before the V2 landed that something might fall that night or the following morning, and the first I knew that the buildings had been hit by a bomb was when I became conscious beneath the rubble. I tried to get out, but I couldn't. I could only move my arm, perhaps my head slightly. It was in complete, total darkness. And it didn't take long, perhaps a few seconds, for me to realize that a bomb had fallen, and I presumed that it was a V2. As I said, I couldn't extricate myself, couldn't get out, and all I could do was lay there and call out every so often, "Help, help," until I heard somebody say, "Hold on," or worse to that effect. And I was released. And I ran out, stumbled out, not realizing how badly injured I was. Not aware, perhaps, of the fact that I may not have had anything on except perhaps torn shreds of pajamas. I ran out and was immediately grabbed by my rescuer or rescuers, taken out, and on being taken out, being held, all I could do was look back and see that there was a large crater in the middle of the middle block, the three parallel blocks. I was taken out into the pavement outside the front building and away to where I was laid and laid out and waited the arrival of an ambulance, laid out in an ambulance and taken to the London Hospital. and immediately into the operating theatre. And found myself recovering from the operation in the London hospital, again not knowing how seriously injured I was.
When you were trapped, did you feel that you might not be rescued?
Yes, I did. That did enter my head, and even though I was quite young, I did feel that I might lapse back into unconsciousness, and I did, yes, did in short wonder whether I would get out alive.
Could you see anything, or was it
pitch black? No, pitch black. Couldn't see anything.
But you could hear something?
Well, it was pretty still, quite eerie. Although there were, I could hear certain sounds, but I don't know what they were. But the real sound, the first sound that I did hear was my rescuer saying, you know, words to the effect, "Hold on, you know, we'll get you out."
Could you breathe properly?
Yes, I seem to be able to breathe.
Were you in pain at that when you were buried?
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't in pain.
What injuries had you had?
There were lacerations and multiple cuts to my back.
What kind of treatment did you get?
The first operation in the theatre was, I think, to stitch my flesh together on my back. Quite a number of stitches, as I was told. But that didn't seem to work. I think I split the stitches. And somewhat later, I was taken back into the theatre, and again I was stitched up, but again that didn't do the trick. And they decided, I think, that they would have to do skin grafting, and I was prepared for skin grafting.
Did you have to give your permission for that?
I can't recall having to sign anything, or I think it was just assumed. Whether my parents were asked, I don't know, but
Which hospital were you in?
The London Hospital, now known as the Royal London Hospital. And after skin grafting and after another period in the hospital, I was taken to Reigate in Surrey, the Marie Curie Convalescent Home in Surrey, by ambulance.